The time has come to talk about.
Apparently, yes, it has come to talk about
rivalry.
Heated rivalry, which by the time this comes out
will have been old news.
I don't know that it will. I mean, who knows what will be happening at that moment, but I do think that heated rivalry will persist.
She's eternal.
I think so at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've kind of decided that it is, right?
Far better than Stranger Things.
Let's Well, I mean, it heated rivalry had a lovely, beautiful ending, a happy ending, a queer joy.
Stranger Things was written by ChatGPT, apparently. Not great, everybody.
You had some opinions about that.
Oh my God.
I fell off the boat of Stranger Things in season two. I watched season one and loved it. And then I fell off the boat in season two and I haven't gone back. But well,
they teed it up nicely for the final season and then they beefed it real hard.
Well, you know,
they Game of Thrones'd it, but even worse, because that wasn't
that
a great finish. Yeah, it is a bummer.
But bad. Since we're talking about heated rivalry, I jumped on this bandwagon right when it came out. Mm-hmm. And
because you're a little trendsetter girly.
Hooked. And you are
still not done with it.
A little
reticent.
Bit of a contrarian sometimes.
I just don't love it when something is like astronomically
beloved.
I'm like this has to be, there has to be some flaw.
Sure, of course.
And so I'm like, I put like, I don't touch it with a 10-foot pole for a little while.
I am sort of
quite the opposite.
I think a little more curious about why is this making waves, right? Yeah. What is the buzz? Like, what is it about this that's making waves?
It was the dialogue, I think, honestly.
The dialogue was great.
I think it's only the dialogue.
Just
there's
the
nothing,
dialogue.
There's nothing else that's
the
really...
The dialogue is so sharp and it's so well-dressed. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful.
Honestly, it could be a blank screen and then just talking.
It's just the sound of the dialogue or the images of the
I think
captions.
That's what is honestly making
that's
it
that is what
make
is.
A splash.
People just love mm-hmm. dialogue. They love
they
watching dialogue, mm-hmm. right? They, you know, they want to have dreams and fantasies about dialogue.
They do. It's like watching Wheel of Fortune, but like in live.
But live.
Like time where everything is changing on that board. Vanna is just spinning letters left and right.
Letters turning into words, turning into sentences,
right.
turning into intentions
because
and meanings.
Because we are very literate people here in
we
America.
Are.
There's no issue with illiteracy at all.
Well, there it is right
and
there.
And schooling.
Right.
And we're very democratic because of that.
I jumped on the bandwagon early. You were a little resistant.
You Clockwork Orange'd me into watching it.
Here's the other thing that I also am very sensitive to, and I understood where you were coming from, is because especially in the queer community, as soon as like the queer community sort of, or like a certain parts of the queer community find something and they glom onto it and it's like, oh, this is a thing that's like made and for in that is now a part of our culture that we're like attaching our attention to, I immediately am like, oh, okay. Well, I have a little bit of questions and curiosities as to why, right? I watched and was like, oh, well, okay. I see why. For obvious reasons, but, you know, the steaminess of the show is that's literally just sort of like the thing that opens the door for most people. And then the story is so good. And it's the romance tenderness side of the storytelling is the thing that I think is what is making people stay.
Mm.
It's very beautifully done and beautifully created by Jacob Tierney and by all of the actors. And it is certainly something to see and celebrate. And you finally watched it after you came over to record. And I was like, we're going to watch two episodes mm-hmm. of this. And we did.
Yeah.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Father, you will follow you there.
at the National Park. At the National Park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking in the land, also known as Pinnacles National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Popolauchum, Shalon, and Ohlone people.
We have finally arrived at our second day in Pinnacles National Park.
That's right.
In our previous three episodes, done a single day in Pinnacles National Park, we had done the caves, and they're called the Bear Gulch caves.
Yep.
We did those. They're not really caves, but they're sort of cave structures cave adjacent that have been created by fallen pinnacles. We did the High Peaks Trail, mm-hmm. and then we also did the Blue Oak.
That's correct.
Trail. So here we are on our second day.
And we were a little trepidatious because two nights prior to this, we had issues with the car battery. The car wouldn't turn over. We had had sort of some strange issues the entirety of the trip.
By turn over, you mean turn on.
Yeah, but turnover is, I think, a common enough phrase that people understand.
Well, I understand, but there's some people, for those of us who didn't know what turnover meant, you might mm-hmm. be like, I'm flipping the car upside down.
Well, sometimes we have to do that. So yeah, we had a problem. And so I think we were a little anxious this morning if the car was going to start. But no problems. Car started fine, which is good because the following day we were flying out. Pinnacles is fairly remote. Obviously, there were a lot of people on the campsite. People were able to help us to jump the car when we had the issue. But we had had kind of a long-running experience with just kind of weirdness with the car the whole trip. So we were just kind of keeping our guard up on all of that.
That morning, we head to the Balcony Cliff Trail parking area, which we were excited to do. This is sort of like if the trails in Pinnacles are a circle and there are trails running through the middle of that circle, this area that we were doing today is sort of like the top half of the circle. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to cut back into the middle and go back down. We are headed to the Balcony Cliff Trail parking area. We get there and there aren't many people who are parked here because it was early. There's one couple getting out of their car and getting ready at the same time we are. They have literally a cat on a leash. This was so funny because you never see this.
Well, I mean, I know people who leash their cats. I mean, not personally, but I have known of people who have leashed their cats and walk them outside. But I've never seen a cat in a national park, leashed or otherwise.
I mean, true. I don't know. I mean, other than like a wild animal that might be part of the cat family.
I don't even think we've seen that. But
we might have heard a bobcat once.
That was pretty good.
That was not a sound effect that was added in post. That was Mike live. There was maybe a mountain lion in Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Might have heard one. Mm-hmm. Correct. But yeah,
good for cat people. But I don't know. Like, I just also find taking pets to national parks, like, do your homework, one. And two, sometimes your pet doesn't need to be with you for that journey, you know?
Right. We leave from here and we take off on what starts out as a very sandy walk through a meadow and very flat. There's a lot of green grasses and it feels like we're in a dry riverbed.
Yeah. We come across a tree with the F word carved into it, which is just like, why do people have to leave a mark like that on nature? Like, why do you got to carve your name or stupid words into trees? Just right. Leave the trees alone.
They like, did not ask for that tattoo.
They didn't. No.
So we eventually hit a junction and a bridge. We head to the right through more meadow, and there are some green rocky peaks to our left. So we cross the bridge, and we end up walking through some woods here under a canopy of trees. There's a small river to our right. We continue on, and we head through some more woods and meadow with this dry riverbed.
This sort of feels like very different terrain from anything that we'd experienced, especially because we're in kind of like brushy canopy here. And eventually we end up in more dry riverbed as we can kind of go through also some very shallow parts of like streams and rivulets that we have to kind of cross on the path that we're on. So it's a very lush area. Because of the sandiness of it all, it just felt very different. It's like the low-lying area of the park, considering we spent so much time in very rocky sections the day prior, in the caves, and also up where the High Peaks Trail. So there are a ton of bird noises here. Do you remember what sort of birds we heard?
Okay, so yes, there were so many bird noises here because this was a haven for birds. Right here. Didn't realize.
Well, water, right? Is water, usually something that is
lower, yeah, land, lower land. But also some, but a lot of trees. So in one area, at one time, in a matter of 30 seconds, we could hear an orange-crowned warbler, an acorn woodpecker, Bewick's wren, a wren tit, a black-headed grosbeak, a California towhee, an ash-throated flycatcher, and also a red-winged blackbird, which, you know, they're all over the place. Also, not far from that same exact spot, we also heard California scrub jay, a lesser goldfinch, a hermit thrush, and a western warbling vireo. There was
ear candy
so many
you.
I mean, trying to decipher which one for myself, impossible. I had to consult Merlin the whole time. That was very exciting.
As we can kind of continue along on our hike, along with all the bird noises, we do get some skunky smells along the way here.
We do. And that was your fault.
Yeah, it was, because I was up at front and I was off gassing.
That's right.
That's what I do. I off gas on the trail.
That's you're off gassing. That's what you're doing.
Because the nighttime temperatures are very low in Pinnacles, we had been very, very layered to start this hike because it was cold in the morning. It was also overcast as we were here. But as we kind of slosh through these sections of river, can't even really call it a river, they're like streams that we're crossing, we do start to get a little warm and we kind of take a layer off as we are moving.
During this, Cynthia is also giving us like a report on some of the things that she's picking up and seeing around the area, which include a lot of pipestem clematis, some monkey flower, and then also there were a ton of hummingbirds around. So after hiking through this dappled wooded area, eventually we come to some slightly heavier woods. We start to get a view of a cave slash mountain. So we reach a junction for these caves, for the caves and cliff trail. But the caves were first. There is like an initial ascent through some more woods. There's also like some more sheltered areas here. We pass through like this rocky pass after the junction. We do have some climbing and a little bit of scrambling to this cave entrance, but it's really light. As we approach the cave entrance, we see that there is a gate there that they can close to like bar entrance to this area if they wanted to, but it was open at this time. So the sign on the gate says, caution, flashlights required, low ceilings, dangerous when wet, stay on trails.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we begin doing?
We begin to don our headlamps and get excited about heading through another little cave system here, which isn't really a cave. It is a pinnacle cave, or like a boulder cave, essentially.
Right.
When we begin bouldering through the cave, I say bouldering in quotations there, it is a much tighter fit than the Bear Gulch caves that we had done the previous day. There is initially more light here than expected. Like, it seemed like when we had to put our headlamps on the first part of this, there is a lot of openings in the ceiling, and so there's a lot of light streaming in. So I thought, well, this is kind of silly, but then you eventually do hit a much darker section. So you essentially are climbing up here, and when you make your way through this first quote-unquote cave, it's not all that long, but you end up climbing up out of a very like narrow space. And as we exited, we come to this plateau of rock that feels like it's very isolated. You are able to see rocks and boulders and things that are surrounding you, but the only way to go, you're sort of cordoned off here, is into the other cave or back the way that you came. And so after getting into the second cave, there's a lot more ducking and dipping that we have to do in this cave. And here in the second section, you can really see how the collapse of rock from above has formed these tunnels and these caves, which is fascinating. I think having done so many caves in the NPS now, this is very different, and it's an experience that you you know, don't often get a chance to freely roam in subterranean areas. And these aren't subterranean. They're still above the ground level. They're just kind of these boulder caves, essentially. But there's a lot more exposed sky and light in the second section. And it sort of felt like a slot canyon that had giant boulders that were just hanging above you, like wedged between the walls, which was its own level of claustrophobia and fear tied together.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So when we come out of these caves, which I did love this part of Pentacles.
Oh, I would have gone back through again.
The caves are like some of my favorite parts.
They're just it's a very different experience that you don't often get in spaces. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after we come out of these caves, in quotation marks, then we finally reach the junction of the Balcony Cliff Trail. And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Okay, so what game are we playing today, Mike?
We are playing Pentagram.
Pentagram, mm-hmm. Where we select a person mm-hmm. that we want to summon. Then we choose, like, what would the 5 objects in each corner of the pentagram be that would summon them?
Right.
So who are we summoning today?
We're summoning the man, the myth, the now legend, Connor Story.
Connor Story from Heated Rivalry, mm-hmm. which we talked about earlier in the episode.
We did.
So,
look
yes.
at that connection, that parallel.
Okay. So right off the bat, I've got 2 objects that I would like to put in there.
I have 2 as well.
Okay, great. I wonder if they're the same ones.
Probably not.
So my first one that I'm going to put in is a Joker card.
Damn it!
What'd I say? They're probably the same. Because he has a very amazing cameo at the end of the Joker 2 film.
Mm-hmm. Folladu.
So yeah, I'm putting that there. Then the other thing I was going to put in there is a clown nose.
Okay.
And the clown nose is because he studied like physical clowning at a place in LA where you can study and do that. And so it's not the kind of like circus clowning, but like the red, I think like a red clown nose will kind of represent that kind of clowning.
Sure.
Great.
As opposed to the clowning that you and I both do okay, well, great. So then I'm gonna put like a little tiny like YouTube like figure like of the logo.
Uh-huh.
Because like his little baby, you know,
version of himself,
YouTube has arrived. People have found it. And it is a very like, I'm like, wow, what a very funny young person.
Yeah. Like, I remember when that came out, I was like, is that really him? And I was like, I love that that's really him.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely feel like if I were younger and YouTube had been a thing,
oh, you
when
would
I was
have
that
been
age.
Actor Boy in 1987.
I totally gonna be on BRD Way.
Uh-huh.
I only know that because that used to be my email.
I think the other thing, obviously not that it's false, but it's a very prominent feature of his face. I think we would have to put a false like mole in
a mole
mm-hmm. of some sort because yeah. that's like a very iconic feature, I feel like, of his face.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the fifth item is pretty obvious.
It's got to be something. Pretty obvious.
I think it should be something hockey related.
Well, I was going to say it could be something Russia related because he does such incredible
dialect
and also language work, because he has to speak like pages of dialogue in Russian and then also speak in a Russian accent.
Maybe it's his jersey that he wore when he was playing for Team Russia.
Oh, okay. It's like definitely a Rosanoff jersey. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm sort of like, is it the Boston
Cannons,
like t-shirt
or whatever it is,
because that's become totally iconic and now that's being sold as merch.
Oh, I'm sure it is. How could it not be?
I think the Russian jersey, I think, is a good call.
Great.
Because it's Russian and hockey together.
Great. And with that, poof,
Connor's story.
He's here with us.
We are now headed up our ascent toward the Balcony Cliff Trail, because that's where we're headed. So this is a fairly windy section of trail, and it's going to take us between these two giant cliffs with a pretty vast open valley in between them. So we're winding our way up, and the cliff we will most directly be under is one on our left, and then the other is to the right and a little further away.
Yeah, but it's not that far. It is like across the way ish. Like we say wide valley, but it's very reachable.
Valley.
Like as the crow flies, it's maybe like less than half a mile, you know, to walk from one peak to the other. We're keeping our eye on the cliffs here because this is a great area for potential condor sightings as well. And we're using our binoculars, and we have to stop every now and again because walking with binoculars is not a good idea.
No.
We eventually are able to spot another condor.
Yeah, it's wild.
Cynthia is like the condor queen. She, I think, spotted all of them this trip.
She did.
Her eyes were peeled.
She had her binoculars and she'd say, I think I see one. And then it's really like an art to try to tell someone where to look.
Right.
For something in the binoculars.
Yes, it
because
is.
Because you do have to like tell
your
someone,
perspective is changing
hey,
so rapidly.
True. But also like you have to describe, this is the spot you want to find in the binoculars.
Right.
So that then when you're on the binoculars, you can do the work yourself to find it. Because once they're on, that's, you're looking a little too up close to like know where you are.
Right.
So
it's disorienting.
But of course, it's also great to stand there and use binoculars just to like look at a cliff face and just scan.
Yeah.
Because when you're looking at it without binoculars, you may not notice some things.
Yeah.
And that's what she was doing. And that's how she discovered this condor. And it was up on the left.
Which we had still not really come below the cliff proper at this point. We were a little further away. But this condor was tagged as white 16. It took us a little bit to figure it out what the number was because it was hard to see the contrast. But we eventually were able to spot that. And some of the work with especially spotting condors and then using the website to find out which one they are, it's like there were a few that we saw in this grouping here that it was like we could see the number, but the color was hard to tell. And like with the number, it's like, oh, it's 16. Well, there's a white 16. There's a purple 16. We thought it was beige at first.
We did.
But beige is not a color.
Gray.
Yeah, or gray.
Or silver.
So there's a little bit of guesswork initially, and then we figured out that it was white 16. And so we really, again, aren't that close to the cliff at this point, kind of winding up the little switchbacks that are underneath it. But we do continue to switch back up to the base of the cliff, and as we approach, we spot another condor. And this one is actually beige 86.
And Cynthia is the one that spots this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are both over on our left. We're feeling so lucky and so excited because, of course, from last episode, we got to see two condors pretty close. These are a little further away, but they're still California condors. They're obviously super rare. And again, they're tagged because they're part of a restoration program. And so they're very, very monitored. It was so exciting that we got to see two more condors. We really didn't think this would happen.
No.
Felt like the luckiest people in the world.
Mm-hmm. So as we're gawking here, you know, we have just kind of parked it below the cliff here.
The trail is also running like through the middle of this. So we're standing on the trail.
There is a climbing route here too. You could off trail it up to a climbing route because there are a lot of climbing routes in Pinnacles. But as we turn away from these cliffs, we look across the way to the cliffs that are on the other side of this narrow valley. To our amazement, we spot a third condor here, which was Condor Pink 27.
That's right. And that condor also spotted by Cynthia. And that was a really funny moment. She goes, huh, I think I just found a third one. And she like handed us
the
binoculars to check. And it's like, yeah.
Yep, you did.
There it is.
You got it.
Third one. We had three at one moment.
She should have played the lottery on that trip because I think she would have won.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Play or those numbers.
We should play those numbers.
Those except contour numbers.
86 isn't a high. That's too high of a number usually for lottery tickets.
Well, you could do 8 and 6.
That's true. Look at that. So how are you feeling right now?
On cloud 9, mm-hmm. on cloud 99, mm-hmm. I was on cloud pink 27 is mm-hmm. where I was.
There you are.
I was elated and freaking out. And I just was, I was taking so many pictures so fast with my DSLR because I wanted to, they were really far away. The DSLR was doing a really great job of zoom, and I was zooming all the way in.
Yeah.
And
that's why you bring that camera with you.
Yeah. And like it was able to really capture a lot of the details. That was so exciting. So I was just trying to get as many pictures as I could so that I could then, you know, go back and look at them later and, you know, zoom in even further and study them even more.
Yeah. We were very excited. So we're telling everyone that's like on the trail passing by, including runners. We're like, there's condors there and there. And some people were like, okay, that's great. I'm like, no, this is like a special thing. And, you know, speaking of running, I do feel like we're always amazed by people that are trail running, but I do feel like Pinnacles feels like a very accessible trail running park. So I get it. I totally get it.
Again, the hiking trails are short bursts. They're short connectors, you know, like you can loop a bunch of them together to make something longer. But even when you do that, ultimately, it's not that long.
Yeah. We begin to make our way back down the same way that we had come up. And we get back to the juncture point from earlier in that dry riverbed. And we are really making good time here. But it got cold again. So again, day was very overcast. The park itself has a very big swing of temperatures that just depends on the day. So we did definitely layer up a little bit more here. I do think it's worth it to really pay attention if you're planning a trip to Pinnacles, what time of year you're going and like what sort of weather you should prepare for. Because apparently the summer it bakes and it's everything is just very dry and dead. And it's like not the place to be, which is so surprising considering how cool and lush it was here in April and like very deep into like the 20s and 30s at night, that it gets that hot in the summertime. After we have layered up a little bit more, we cross a bridge and we end up following the river through a winding path and a rock tunnel here. And this sort of felt to me, I don't know if you ever did like the studio backlot tour at like Universal, if you were privileged enough to go there as a kid.
I remembered this mm-hmm. a little bit.
It did feel like we were sort of in the backlot tour of Pinnacles.
Yeah, it did was feel like a little bit like that.
It's almost felt like in Zion, there's like the river walk. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah.
That also feels like backlot Zion.
I agree.
It's like the quiet side of the park. We did pass some other hikers here along the way, but this is mostly a path through some open areas that had running brooks and streams on them or through them. And eventually we make our way into and through some more large boulders and across another bridge. And this is where we thought we hit Condor Palooza. Yeah, this is that area where you guys, Becky and I just were like, okay, we're going to keep walking. Because you were like, oh my God, there's 20, you know.
So yes, we thought we had come upon Condor Palooza. Or was it?
Non-Doors,
which
are non-condors, turkey vultures
yeah. or black vultures, but it was mostly turkey vultures there.
Well, they were over these pinnacles in the distance, which was basically the back of the high peaks, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, back part of the high peak trail. And it was a confluence. There were tons of
there's
them.
So many. Well, the thing is, vultures do like to swarm together mm-hmm. like that. And condors are definitely, you know, similar to vultures. They definitely look like them.
Right.
But they don't behave in the same way.
No.
There really aren't enough condors for like 30 of them to gather right, and fly around like that.
Uh-huh.
But we thought that there might be some condors mixed in with those vultures.
Well, I think also because Cynthia had spotted all of this and she was doing like such a good job at spotting. She's like, I'm going to spot as many as I can.
And she did believe for a few minutes that all of them were condors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I'm wrong and maybe they all are. And maybe the person who's been spotting them all day has spotted, you know, 15 of them that are all flying together in the sky. And I am just the luckiest person in the world. You know?
But you and Cynthia had devices that you could see things from afar, and Becky and I did not. So we continued walking here. We eventually go through a meadow that has a long fence line, and there is so much Spanish moss here. And it felt like we were in the Old South all of a sudden. And
there was.
It was very odd. Like it was like, oh, this place is just here. A very break from format from the rest of everything else in the park.
Absolutely.
This led us down. This path led us down to the Chaparral parking area. This is a very large parking lot, and it seemed like it was a big access point for the rock climbers, because again, Pinnacles is a big park system that has routes, like rock climbing routes in it. And so Becky and I take our time and use the restroom here, because there's a big, rather big restroom, and we wait for you and Cynthia to meet back up with us. And eventually, we saw the both of them bounding over the hill into the parking lot. We all convened. We took a little rest here to have some snacks. We plotted what our next moves for the day were going to be.
And with that, let's take our next break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Maggie Bigantall.
Maggie Bigantall.
Mm-hmm.
This is
a reference to Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I know, and I love it. Maggie Bigantall.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie Bigantall. I kind of want it to be like a giant drag version of Maggie Gyllenhaal characters.
Okay.
So maybe we have like a gigantic version of Sherry Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have a gigantic version of the girl from Mona Lisa Smile.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have a gigantic version of...
The Darko sister, whatever her name was.
Yes.
Yeah, from Donnie Darko.
Wasn't she in a Batman?
She was.
Yeah. I liked her, and that was controversial because...
Because she took over for Kate...
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes.
And I was like, yeah, but Maggie Gyllenhaal is such a great actor. Like, mm-hmm. she's going to do great. So I really liked it.
Yeah.
But I liked what she did.
Yeah.
But yes, so what else is Maggie Bigantall known for?
Well, I think she's got a clothing store. How can she not? It's drag outfits for the big and tall.
I like it.
I mean, I think Maggie Bigantall is at least 6'5". Like,
well, maybe the store is called Draggy Bigantall.
Draggy Bigantall. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like that. As like the branding on that is good. For some reason, it feels like because she's larger than life, it feels like almost like a circus act.
Yeah.
Like there's that element that's coming into it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like circus.
I think like, she's MC got like energy. A lot of fun. She has a lot of fun with stilts.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it's like
making
there's
her
a
even
joke
taller.
That like every time she appears, she's taller, mm-hmm. right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or her shoes just kept, the platform just keeps getting higher in her shoes if she's
I
not
like
tall.
That.
I do feel like she sings Hey Big Spender.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
That feels like her wheelhouse.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm into that.
Mm-hmm. She could also sing, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
She could do that.
That was a big hit when I was like in middle school. I couldn't tell you who sings it.
That was so long ago.
It was so long ago. It was in the dark ages.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I'm thinking maybe like Draggy Bigantall, the store, is also like a store by day and a performance space by night.
Oh, I love
and
it.
This is like her, where she does her drag shows.
Her drag warehouse.
With other queens and with other drag artists and all the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm into this.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlethems, please welcome to the stage,
Maggie Bigantall. We're here and we're taking a breather at this Chaparral parking lot. It did have like a really big restroom. I remember that the restrooms were heated because it was chilly.
Because I was a little chilly girl.
And it felt really good to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
So from here, we decide, okay, it's time to begin the next leg of our journey, which we decided we were going to go up the Juniper Canyon Trail, which would have led us to essentially where we were going to go. It would essentially lead us, it could have led us back to where we had lunch the day before, but there was another way we could go. Through the woods and pinnacles up ahead we went. And so this area was pretty heavily wooded and fairly dense compared to what we'd experienced elsewhere in the park, but we could still see a lot of surrounding pinnacles. There is a squirrel that is leading us along down the path, and it felt like a little too close, but as we would continue to walk, so would it. But we continue heading through the woods with pinnacles essentially surrounding us on all sides. And we came to an endpoint of the lower trail and began the ascent.
So the ascent is a series of initially short and then fairly long switchbacks, which would wind us up to the pinnacles that were on our left as we were walking down Juniper Canyon. These were really compact earth like switchbacks, so it wasn't the most gentle on the feet. It was a little rough and a little, not craggy, but definitely rocky here and there. As we continue moving up, we get this really amazing view of the rocks and pinnacles that are across the canyon from us that were a little more obstructed on our walk through the woods here. And there are signs as we continue to climb of trail restoration and trying to mitigate desire paths as we are on our way up. There are signs of trail restoration here as well, and of the park trying to mitigate desire paths as we kind of continue our way hiking up through these switchbacks. So please stay on the trail, y'all.
Coming up from the chaparral here, this ascent was steep.
I don't think either of us expected it today.
Because the ascent we did yesterday, the ascent we did was on the lower section of the High Peaks Trail, which apparently everybody... easiest ascent in the park. Getting up high is what you want to do in pinnacles,
yep.
Right?
If not for condor spotting, for just the views.
The views and getting up close to them. So there's multiple ways to do that. We have now done, this is three of the four options. And we're going up this one. And it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot. Oh, yeah.
Eventually, we get to the junction for the Tunnel Trail, which is an iconic moment in Pinnacles National Park. This tunnel and the tunnel trail leads you to this tunnel. We could either go left to the tunnel to one part of the High Peaks Trail or right to the High Peaks Trail without the tunnel. So we chose to go left because we hadn't been to that part before. Had we gone right, it would have brought us to our lunch spot from the day before. So we turn left. It leads us literally to a tunnel that has been bored through this rock.
Yep.
And, or this, you know, boulder or pinnacle. And it's a lot of fun. It's literally, it's short, but it's walking through this tunnel that, like, otherwise you wouldn't be able to walk through this area.
Right, exactly. Immediately there is a bridge that we cross over on the other side. Our switchback days were not over because we had to continue up on more switchbacks to the High Peaks Trail, essentially. So up into the pinnacles. And this did feel a little never ending as we continued on. I just felt like it was like, oh, I didn't expect this. I know we did yesterday, but I didn't expect this today.
Up and mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. and up. We went.
Mm-hmm.
We are starting to wind up around the low pinnacles. And as we do, we begin to finally feel some warmth as the sun is higher in the clouds now and beginning to burn off. So there was definitely some delayering that happened here. As we continued to hike up and up, we could look down and we got a great view of the chaparral parking lot where we just were. And it was really fun to see it now from this vantage and see, you know, have a bit of a sense of scale. And we could also see the cliff trail from afar, which is what we had just done before. So we could see it over in the distance and it gave us some perspective too.
Yeah, just on how far we had come that day, for sure. Eventually, after hiking up through these switchbacks, we do finally meet back up with the High Peaks Trail and decide to plop down at the lunch spot that we had passed the day prior. So there was this like rock that was behind these bushes, and there was a grandfather there with his grandkids who was doing some sketching. The kids were just like kind of lounging on these rocks, and it was like the perfect spot for like a spring day where the sun is very warm. This was a great viewpoint too. We did spend a lot of time here just sort of like lazing, enjoying food, looking for more birds, looking out into the distance. Like, this was a beautiful, great spot to have our little lunchtime sojourn.
We did not see any more condors while we were sitting here, but there was a big old raven that was nearby.
Oh yeah.
There were lots of ravens in this park, everybody. There were ravens right and left. So there was a big old raven that did come. You said because I was there.
Yeah, mother right. was here.
Mother was
mother!
Here. That's it. It felt great because this was the warm part of the day. It was the warm part of the day while we were eating. So that felt nice to be able to just kind of like lay there and spread out a little bit on the rock yeah. and just like...
Like lizards.
get some warmth.
Mm-hmm. And after spending like probably, I would say a good half hour just like resting here, we decided that it was time to make our way down. Now, this was a similar exit from yesterday's trip. You come down this kind of like sweepy switchback initially section onto more of a straightaway that is just very, very craggy. And I don't know if we just didn't notice it the other day or it didn't bother us as much.
It bothered us today.
Or that it was very sunny, but it was intense today. And I think we were all sort of a little just annoyed on ankle twisty things that we were experiencing the whole way down. And I think the both of us laughed because we weren't sure if the Pinnacles Trail, which is in Big Bend, which is an awful trail to come down, was named after potentially Pinnacles National Park, because it right. definitely felt like it in this moment in time.
I have to say, the Pinnacles Trail in Big Bend was worse than anything we did in Pinnacles National mm-hmm. Park for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a 10 out of 10 on a decline.
Right.
FYI, everybody.
Yeah. So, and but people we met also said terrible, terrible things.
I can't. Uh-huh. Right.
So, what other craggy kind of BS have we experienced before?
Well, I mean, Yosemite Falls was super craggy.
Like the whole way.
The whole way. Yeah. I mean, especially the part like there's sort of that like initial part of the trail, which is tough on its own.
Yeah.
But it's like as soon as it's like the falls are over to the right and then you're just kind of just going up and up and up, mm-hmm. it's just craggy the entire time.
Yeah.
The entire
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Not fun on the feet. And I feel like Yosemite Falls, Pinnacles, and this trail sort of stand out the most. It's never fun when it's...
No.
It's a lot of the time too, I think it's also just like your tired level and how annoyed, how easily like triggered you are.
Yeah.
At that point in the day. Because it definitely feels like... Our tireds were high here. Again, this was our last day of hiking on this trip in totality after being in Death Valley for 3 days and then here for two, having like a very long drive in between. I think we were just sort of like our battery had essentially been depleted
yeah.
for the I time mean, being. A rest other... day would have been the next thing for
correct.
Us. Yeah, for sure.
So eventually we get to that same flat plateau that we had hit yesterday and we are met with the exact same... junction that we saw yesterday of either the Condor Gulch Trail or the Blue Oak Trail. Since we did the Condor Gulch Trail the day before, we decided today we're going to do the Blue Oak Trail.
Well, it was going to also lead us back to the parking lot that we needed to be at quicker. We could have gotten to our parking lot either way, but it meant like arriving and having like 0.5 mile, like a half mile when we got down or 2 miles when we right. got down to get to the parking lot. So the Blue Oak Trail is hilly and it's got a lot of high grass. And it was honestly a very different experience from the rest of the park. And I know I've said that a few times, but it did feel like a totally separate ecosystem from what we have seen at this point. It's sweeping hilly views and then essentially diving down into the hills through way more green.
Yeah, eventually we ended up into more exposed areas across hills and ridges, sandy trails. This is where it felt hot. And we were all ready to call it quits by this point because we were tired. We were done. We had had our fill.
We also had a time here to kind of debrief our attendance at Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center opening ceremonies that we had done the prior June, which we hadn't really had the chance to like really debrief and talk to Becky and Cynthia about. So we were really going through that whole experience on our way down, which was a really nice way to relive a very special experience that we both were able to be party to. It was really, really special.
So we get a little further on this trail, and as we get closer to the bottom, because this trail is 2 miles from that junction to the bench trail. It's 2 miles and it's basically straight down. There are about 9 switchbacks that you go through on this trail in total. Some are longer than others, and then most are short. But as we get further on this trail and closer to the bottom, we end up passing these women picnicking on the actual trail. They were in the shade, but
it was weird. They just like plopped in the middle of the ground and then didn't make any like effort to move as we were trying to like go by them.
It was definitely the pathway. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. Sometimes it's the only space.
Sometimes we sit on a trail.
Sometimes we sit on the trail. Right. So we made our way down to the bottom and we go to the dry riverbed that would lead us back to the car. At that trail junction with the bench trail, we watched this deer in the dry riverbed cross the road. I mean, going at his own pace.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
No rush.
But
no urgency.
We were in a rush because we decided we were done. And yeah, we like were hightailing it back to where we parked.
So let's put this kind of meandering path
we did a lot
that we did
on this day
today on the Karen Stone scale. So we did Balcony Cliffs, then we made our way up Juniper Canyon, then we went through the Tunnel Trail, then we got onto High Peaks, then we went down the Blue Oak Canyon.
Yeah. Well, we've already put High Peaks on the Karen Stone scale, that section. Well, let's do the Balcony Cliffs Trail, or the Old Pinnacles Trail to the Balcony Cliffs Trail.
Two.
Yeah.
Not much. I mean, the caves are the complicated part there.
I'd give it a 3 for the caves, yeah. So 5 out of 20.
Okay.
Okay.
The little, like, dry riverbed from the exit of the caves up to Balcony Cliffs and then back, I'm also going to give it, like, a 2.
Yeah, that's the 2.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little incline, but there's not much.
It's nothing that's crazy.
So 4 out of 20 there.
Okay.
Let's do from the Chaparral
parking area
up to the junction for
Tunnel Trail.
Tunnel Trail. That.
That was hefty. That was 6. Like a 5 for me, for
okay.
Sure.
So 11 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Tunnel Trail.
The Tunnel Trail. A 1? You mean through the tunnel? Or you mean from there up to High Peaks?
It's literally called the Tunnel Trail and it connects
to High
Peak.
Oh, that would be like a 4 for me. Because at that point you're at elevation. You're pretty high up and you're not gaining.
So 4. Yeah, I would agree. So 8 out of 20. And then the Blue Oak Trail down. Again, exposed.
Yeah. Gentler on the feet, I feel like.
This was definitely gentler on the feet than Condor Gulch.
Or Condor Gulch, yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 6 going down.
I'm
going
to say a 5.
Okay. Great.
So 11 out of 20. And with that, let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy style trivia. All right, Dusty, why don't you get us started?
Okay. So my Jeopardy is, since we did the Balcony Cliffs Trail, there's a very famous balcony in Shakespeare where Juliet stands.
The Juliet balcony.
The Juliet balcony, which, welcome to the stage, Juliet balcony. And so this is before, during, and after. Well, it's almost before, during, and after. And the middle piece is always the name of a Shakespeare play.
Oh, great.
Okay, great. So are we ready?
We're ready.
So before, during, and after, the answers have, or these questions, because it's Jeopardy style trivia, have 3 parts and they all connect and have words or parts of words that overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. For 100, this Jersey alternative name for pork roll with this Shakespeare's most famous tragedy about the melancholy Dane and this phrase famously said by Marie Antoinette.
What is Taylor Ham let a meat cake?
Correct.
Taylor Ham, let them eat cake.
Correct. For 200. This phrase sung in the second verse of Deck the Halls about going where a leader is taking you, and also also the iconic fa la 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 comes right after with this Shakespeare comedy about a nun pursued by an evil duke with this household tool whose components were also used to make snap bracelets.
I am flummoxed.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I don't know the second verse of Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. Fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la la. Don we now our gay apparel. La 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 la. Nah, I don't know what comes after. I got it. And I don't know that Shakespeare play.
Do you know the last? You could figure out the... You could maybe figure it out if you can get the
this
last
is a tool that is used to make snap bracelets? Like a toothbrush? No. A ruler? A tape measure.
Or spin that around. Turn
a
that
measure ar- tape.
Yeah.
A measurer.
A measuring tape.
Measuring tape. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know the Shakespeare. I'm sorry.
So what is follow me in Mary measure for measuring tape?
Measure for measure. Got mm-hmm. it.
Measure for okay. measure. Follow me in Mary measure. La, la,
la, la, la, I got nothing. La, la. Sorry.
For 300. This age-old store in the mall from the 90s where one could get caramel corn, caramel popcorn, and also a dreamsicle with this Shakespeare tragedy about a Roman emperor and this appetizer that may be served in Venice with just globs of mayo.
What is orange Julius Caesar salad?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So why did I write that clue that way?
Because when we had a Caesar salad in Venice, it was not ranch dressing, or it was not Caesar dressing. It was mayo.
It was literally just mayonnaise. We ordered a Caesar salad.
Who was mad about it? Not me.
Not you. It arrived, and it was literally just mayonnaise, like swirled on top.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, well,
yep.
Y'all have a great time. It was mm-hmm. intended to split, so I got a little bit from the bottom.
You did.
For 400, this iconic sandwich from the fast food chain featuring the Golden Arches with this Shakespeare tragedy, the only one that takes place in Scotland, and this actress who famously played Aunt Zelda in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, who, while not being related, shares a last name with the actor who famously made a film about staying home from school.
His name just went out of my head. I'm like, and it's married.
I know Sarah Jessica Parker.
I know. Oh my God. Well, it's Macbeth. It's Big Macbeth. Oh my God. What this? His name's not Brendan. Why did I lose his name? I'm really stumped today.
What is Big Macbeth Broderick?
Matthew Broderick. That's right.
Yep.
Okay. Great.
And finally, for 500. A meta title for this category. This is the film that gave Gwyneth Paltrow her Oscar about the playwright who wrote the plays featured in this category. With this Shakespeare play about the King of Navarre and his lords who vow to swear off women until the Princess of France arrives with her friends. And this sci-fi franchise that has now been remade many times, though we most likely watched the remake with Matt LeBlanc and Lacey Chabert.
What is Shakespeare in Love Labor's Lost in Space?
That is correct.
There we go. Beautiful. Nice job.
Thank you.
Despite my flummoxed state. All right. So I was also inspired by Balcony Cliffs, but what I did was I took this category and found other spaces in national parks that had common architectural names within them.
Okay.
And not necessarily architectural names. It may be common object names that people use every day,
okay,
or are part of a home that are within their title.
Great.
All right. So for 100, this hike and location in Mount Rainier National Park is a body of water that could be fresh or salt water with the name of a sitting place often found in a park in front of it.
What is Lake Bench?
Switch it around.
What is Bench Lake?
That's right. There you go. Okay. All right. For 200. This hike and location in Capitol Reef National Park is a naturally occurring solid collection of minerals, which could be igneous, sedimentary, or metamorphic, with the brick outflow on a roof for this hearth feature within a house in front of it.
What is Chimney Rock?
That's correct. For 300, this space in Bryce Canyon National Park, visible from the Peekaboo Loop, is anything but a stretch of a room's interior with many panes of glass to the outside world on it. So what would
what
be
What is window?
What would be a stretch of a room's interior? What would we also...
What is the hall?
Think what's on either side of the hall.
What are walls?
Okay. And what are panes of glass to the outside world?
What is wall of windows?
There you go.
There we go.
For 400, this deep, narrow valley with tall walls in Zion National Park has the name of the space you would put your car or house one of these in to unlock it in front of it.
Well, I wanted to say narrows, but that's wrong. Is it a lock?
Okay, so let's...
Keys?
Okay, you're almost there. So the space you would put your house or car one of these into, so what would that space be called?
A keyhole.
There you go.
What is the keyhole canyon?
There you go.
There we go.
Keyhole canyon. Mm-hmm. And then for 500. This pull-off overlook within Badlands National Park is what you would call the Brits if you were living in the colonies and they weren't dressed in fall, winter, or spring jackets, but tees instead, with the space you would gather at for a meal.
So something table, right?
Mm-hmm. So what did they call the British in the Revolutionary War?
Oh, God.
That would also have a word that's synonymous with jacket in their title.
Coat.
Okay, but what kind of coat?
A blue coat. A red coat.
There you go.
A red coat but, table.
But if it wasn't that they were wearing coats, they were wearing tees instead.
Oh my God, a red shirt table.
There you go. You got it.
Oh my God.
Belabored. Love belabored lost.
Loves labors lost.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.